Hello, this is Daniel Gregory, and thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. I am your host. I hope you're having a wonderful week. You are listening to episode 376 of our little podcast here, and I really do appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget, if you're enjoying the podcast, you can always do a rate or a review up on one of the sites where you listen to podcasts, and that helps other people find your podcast. And don't forget to check out my website, danieljgregory.com, to learn all about the upcoming workshops I've got going on. Would love to see you in a workshop. If you've got time and are interested in learning how to create more meaningful images or visit the Palouse or learn how to print better, some little spots in those workshops. So this week I wanted to talk about something that comes up in critique all of the time. One of the things that comes up during the critique process is the notion of intention. And when we look at somebody's photograph, can we understand their intention? Can we figure out what their intention is when they took the photograph? The interesting thing about that is I do believe there are times when we can absolutely understand the intention of the photographer, the purpose, the reason why the photographer made the photograph. It could be as simple as the quality of light, the appreciation of light, the interesting gesture, something like that. But it could be a lot deeper than that. It could dive into a political question, a economic question, a social question, a social justice question. And I think that the photographs that have a lot more resonance in them, a lot more connection in them, oftentimes are rooted in conflict. They're rooted in a dissonance within the photographer to say something about the world, to make the world a better place. When we look at photographs, when we're trying to assess the photograph and the meaning and purpose behind the photograph, and the photographer is not there, in a lot of cases, even if the photographer is there, they may not have even thought about this. But when we're discussing those questions, when we're thinking about those questions and what they might possibly mean, one of the things that's really important is for us to be able to identify within ourselves, as the viewer, what sort of feeling comes up within us about the photograph. And it could be about the subject matter. It could be about the photograph itself. It could be about the subject of the photograph. But beyond the technical aspects of the photograph, where sits the conflict? Where sits the dissonance that is created when we look at the photograph? And that conflict, like I said, conflict could be to the positive side. It doesn't always have to be conflict as a negative element. It could be a positive sort of conflict. Like, oh, wow, that's a really beautiful photo, an unusually beautiful photograph of a serene nature setting. It does not meet what I had as an expectation. But understanding that conflict, understanding why is it that I'm having that reaction to the photograph? Because what I would postulate is that a lot of the photographs that we respond to with a meh or it's nice, but I don't really engage with it. I don't really connect with it. Are photographs that lack the photographer putting that internal conflict, that internal dissonance, that internal misalignment of feeling into the photograph. It probably comes about from one of two reasons. One being a lack of awareness. We're not sure that we're even bothered by what we're photographing, or that we have something to say about the thing we're photographing. We are, again, subconsciously responding to something. We take the best-looking photograph of what we can, worrying about f-stops and shutter speeds and ISO and processing, and we make what looks like a pretty nice photograph, but it's a pretty bland photograph. It's nice, but bland. Similar to having, like, boiled chicken. There's no real flavor to it. You haven't salted it. You haven't seasoned it. You haven't cooked it well. You just sort of have something there. It can sustain you, but it's really not a good way to go about living all the time. We want something with a little more flavor, a little more spice, a little more bite to it, a little more variety to it. And then we get to the other question about what causes these sort of flat photographs, these bland photographs. And this, I think, is probably the bigger challenge between the two. I think getting to the good photograph, understanding that we're going to make an interesting photograph, we're going to season it up, that's just some acceptance of what we have. But to make photographs that truly matter requires a level of risk. It requires us to put ourselves out there in a more meaningful way. It requires us to say that there is, in fact, conflict. There is, in fact, an issue. There is, in fact, a problem that I want to discuss in this photograph. And so all the decisions then about framing, purpose, technical, technique, size, scale, processing are in service of recognizing that we do want to say something and that we are willing to take that risk to say it, to put the conflict forward, to put the conflict out in the world. And the reason I think that's a challenge for a lot of us is a lot of us don't enjoy engaging in conflict. We're not necessarily that we're conflict averse, but we don't enjoy necessarily putting up and having what we view as an argument or a negative discussion or a hard conversation with somebody. And I think that's one of the perversions we have in how we think about conflict when we, well, in society, but it's one of the perversions of conflict when we think about art. That the challenge of that conversation, the challenge to say that this, I believe, is something worth discussing, and I'm willing to put a stake in the sand to say that the conversation is worth having, is at its core one of the purposes of creating work to share as an art form. It's to say that this, whatever this is important, and what I'm saying about it is also important. And I'm going to challenge you to think about that. I'm going to challenge you to question your own assumptions about that, to question your own experience about that. And by taking that culmination of those different ideas together, we move the ideas we have forward. We have a good conversation, a healthy conversation that forces us into a dialogue. And because it's art and the photographer may or may not even be in the room, we're forced to have that dialogue with ourselves about, am I making the right assumptions? And why am I uncomfortable when I look at this photograph? What is it about this photograph that's making me feel uneasy? Is it something that is in the content? Is it something about the way I behave? Is it about something the way I think? Is it about something the way I don't think? The exposure that comes from the photographer's willingness to say that I am willing to put my stake into the photograph, put it on the wall, and have it be something more than just a pretty picture, forces the viewer into that conversation, forces them to challenge their own assumptions and move forward. And I think that's when we get into more interesting photographs. We have photographs that make us think. And in this case, the conflict is on one side of that. There are other things that make us think. But for the sake of this 10 minutes, we're talking about the conflict nature of it. But when we look at a photograph and we have to think about the photograph, we have to think about the contents of the photograph. We have to think about our emotional response to the photograph. We have to think about how that photograph is changing the way we might potentially view other photographs. All of those elements coming together make for a more interesting photograph. They make for a more interesting experience. They create in us a more interesting viewing experience. And from that, we make more interesting photographs. We start to recognize that when photographs challenge us, when photographs make us think, when photographs require us to dig deeper into our own psychology to create something of value, not just to me, but to other people, we create better photographs. And even if you're a person who likes to make beautiful photographs, thinking about why you're making those beautiful photographs, what is that challenge that you're putting forward into those photographs so that your pretty photographs of Yosemite Falls or your pretty photographs of the Midwest Plains or whatever that it seems like it's without any other reason than it was just a pretty photograph. If that photograph for you was something more than a pretty photograph, then what is it in that photograph? How have you framed that and composed that? And like I said, the challenge doesn't have to be political. It doesn't have to be socioeconomic. It can be simple. One of the things that I oftentimes do in my landscape work is I'm interested in time and I'm interested in space. And so as I photograph to make the environment feel either constrained and tight or to feel expansive and open, I want us to think about these open spaces as looking at them and thinking, wow, there's so much room to breathe. There's so much open expanse that when you are then confronted with decisions about should we continue industrialization? Should we continue to expand urbanization out there and contaminate those spaces? That are you willing to give that up? Are you willing to give up that chance to have a big space to breathe and fill your lungs in a way that doesn't hold the same claustrophobia that it does inside the city? And maybe you don't. Maybe you don't care about that. But I want you to have that thought. I want you to have that experience. And that's part of what goes into the framing experience of those photographs. So no matter how simple the message is, and again, when we think about the message of somebody looking at my photographs of open landscape, and they say, well, that's a pretty photograph, and they stop, I kind of have to wonder to myself, did I get enough of myself in there? But if they stop and they say, wow, it's a beautiful photograph, and it feels so airy, it feels so light, I can't believe how big that landscape is, how open that landscape is. Now we're starting to get into my message that I want into that photograph. So that simple intention of valuing space and valuing openness, valuing that chance to reconnect with the earth, put your feet in the grass, that's important. That's some of the things that I hope come out of the photograph. So it's not a hard political statement. I'm not trying to make myself appear on one of the news channels to talk about something. But I do want that tension. I do want that stress to exist when we look at those photographs. So hopefully as you're thinking about your photographs, as you're thinking about your photography, if you find yourself over and over again reacting to, it's just a pretty photograph, dig deeper. What is it about the thing you're photographing that matters to you beyond it being pretty, and see if you can drive that experience, what I'm calling the conflict, if you can drive that into your photograph and then see how people relate to them, see how they describe them. I think you might find that your work takes a click up on the dial and do a little bit more interesting work and a little bit more exciting work for both you and the people who view it. Thanks again for spending a few minutes out of your week with me to listen to the podcast. I really do appreciate it. I hope you have good luck behind the camera or the editing or whatever you're doing photographically this week. And I will see you next time.